Atheist Nomads, episode 351, angrily ignoring misinformation about it.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and I am coming at you from Studio B. This is in the bedroom. Studio A in our living room is currently torn apart, and there are some cables that I'm going to need for the new setup that are on order right now with the shutdown and social distancing and everything. Those are pretty well delayed. Like, might be getting them, sometime next month. And I ordered them more than a week ago. So we're going to be rearranging to where the computer that's been doing most of the audio work plus the big interface, that's all going to be going into the TV in the living room. The new one we got a couple months ago, 58-inch 4K TV, built-in Roku. Got an amazing deal on it, so I was really pleased about that. And yeah, we're going to pipe through a really long HDMI cable the computer into that, which will make live streams really cool to be able to just sit on the couch and see it all on the TV. And when we do interviews, we can do video interviews and actually see them easily. If it's me and Lauren or more people, we can all see everybody. So that should be really pretty cool. I'm looking forward to getting that set up. But again, it's going to take a little while. And probably a month and a half ago, I set up a desk in the bedroom so I could get a place where I could get behind a closed door to try to work on schisms. And it's become my home office for working from home. And it is set up as a secondary studio. I still need to get some sound treatment on the walls. So hopefully it's not too terribly bad right now. We will see how this all sounds in the long run. In limited testing I've done before, it seemed okay. Using the old interface for this and mic. So the sound should all be pretty familiar. Otherwise, the settings are all about the same. But that's getting way too into the weeds. I'm frankly getting kind of tired of the whole stay at home and shelter in place. I know we all are. This is one of those things where we need to just buck up and deal with it. It sucks. But it's important to make sure that people don't needlessly die, because right now people are needlessly dying. And there are some people who are not willing to buck up and deal with it, such as a local Ammon Bundy, who you may recall from the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge a few years back. He led an armed insurrection against the United States government, seizing federal land and destroying Indian artifacts. And his most recent thing was a defiant Easter gathering near his home in Emmett, Idaho, where he was hoping to get 1,000 people together in defiance of the governor's shelter in place order. Yeah, he was hoping to get 1,000 people. You want to guess what the real count was? 60. Yeah, he got 60 people. He also didn't rent out a big space or use a church. Nope, he just used a warehouse that he owns on the edge of town. Out of these 60 people, about half, when asked by Diego Rodriguez, a pastor who spoke at the event, when he asked who was from out of state, about half rose their hands. After the event, or actually before even, during the event, people were hugging and shaking hands. Nobody wore masks or any other protective gear. There were tons of, most of the vehicles there were pickups. A lot of them had American flags mounted. Some had bumper stickers promoting the 3%ers militia, and somebody at the entrance blow a shofar, which is a horn made from a horn that you blow that is actually a type of goat horn. It is at least loosely based on a old Jewish horn that's talked about in the Bible. But it's been taken over by Christians, especially the Jews for Jesus and Messianic Jewish groups. And now the Patriot Movement, which is a anti-federal movement that seeks to overthrow the federal government and replace it with a libertarian theocracy, which, of course, it would be a complete oxymoron. The pastor there at the event, he did say during it, quote, "They'll speak all matter of evil against you. They'll say that you are just trying to bring attention to yourself. They'll say that you are trying to destroy other people's freedoms, because if you go outside and you breathe, someone might die." Yes, they are. Ammon Bundy was just trying to bring attention to himself. The people gathering are just trying to bring attention to themselves. They have been promoting themselves as an anti-federal movement. They are actively opposing the state government. And Idaho has one of the most conservative state governments out there. One of the most libertarian state governments out there. And they're opposing it, too. So, no. They are just anti-government. And anybody who's truly anti-government doesn't get it. Like, even anarchists want some kind of government. I don't know what they're really hoping to replace the government with, but obviously it's not just getting rid of the central government. Oh, man, it's pretty crazy. One thing that Bundy said at the event was, quote, "If it gets bad enough and our rights are infringed upon enough, we'll physically stand in defense in whatever way we need to." I believe that is specifically what Governor Brad Little was talking about with Idaho's shelter-in-place order when he said that he doesn't want to have to enforce it, but he has activated the National Guard and will use it if he needs to. They were bringing people from out of state and outside of the little town of Emmett to an event with more than 10 people to potentially spread COVID-19 either from Idaho to these other states or from these other states into the town of Emmett. And when the governor threatened the use of the National Guard, that was, I know, at least I interpreted it as stopping travel across regions, like stopping people needlessly traveling from out of state to, say, a fucking Easter event in Emmett. It's not like they're going to be having the Emmett Cherry Festival this year. Kentucky has mandatory, shelter. Kentucky has a similar shelter in place, and in advance of Easter, actually, 2 days before Easter, Good Friday, Governor Andy Beshear warned that anybody who violated the stay-at-home order on Easter, knowing that there were numerous churches threatening to ignore the order, also acknowledging that while most churches and every single synagogue and mosque in the state had shut down for this, there were some that weren't, and he said that anybody who went to one of them would be subject to a 14-day mandatory self-quarantine, with police recording license plates and sending health officials to in-person place all of these people and their households on quarantine. What actually happened ended up being, at least at one church, Mayville Baptist Church had a full house. At least it looked like it from the parking lot, which, as a general rule of thumb, a church is considered full when the parking lot is 80% full. That's when people stop showing up and just drive by. So, yeah, if it appeared to be near full house, it was full. And that was despite a heavy police presence and even some nails blocking the parking lot entrances. A church member who arrived beforehand, removed the piles of nails, and they ignored the police warnings and signs. And then the police went, and some people even covered up their license plates to make it so that the police wouldn't be able to record their license plate numbers. So then the police took down license plates when they could and VIN numbers when they couldn't. And again, everyone who attended, at least let me rephrase that, the owners of the vehicles that were in the parking lot during the event and everyone else living at their address are now quarantined for 14 days. How fucking selfish can you get? Like, if you can, you can hope that in each of those cases, everyone in the household attended, and you didn't have people needlessly getting quarantined, or at least, let me rephrase that, getting quarantined due to no fault of their own. But that's not likely with a Baptist church. But if there was anybody in attendance who had a roommate who is a devout Christian, that sucks. You need to pick your roommates better if you're in that situation. And in Virginia, Bishop Gerald O. Glenn of Richmond's New Deliverance Evangelistic Church said at one of his, actually, I believe it was at his last service he attended on March 22nd, quote, "I firmly believe that God is larger than this dreaded virus. You can quote me on that." He happily announced that he was being controversial and violating safety rules, had way more than 10 people in attendance, and then he was diagnosed with COVID-19 and has now died. His wife's also sick with COVID-19. And according to their daughter, early on, her father dismissed his symptoms because he has some other health condition that often leads to fevers and infections. I'm going to guess diabetes. And so she ignored that, or he ignored that, apparently ignoring that diabetes and or any other health disorder that negatively impacts your immune system puts you at increased risk of severe complications from COVID-19, including death. He firmly believed that God is larger than this dreaded virus, the virus that killed him. So let's turn to misinformation. We're moving from people ignoring it to misinformation about it and around it. The Reuters Institute at the University of Oxford in England reviewed 200 COVID-19 related claims that had been rated either false or misleading by the fact-checking organization First Draft News. And what they found was that 59% of all claims were reconfigured. Only 38% were completely fabricated. Now, that is really disturbing that they found 38% of those were literally completely made up. But the majority of them, yeah, were reconfigured, meaning they took actual information and twisted them. One example, and one of the more common ones they saw, it had to do with the instability of the virus at high temperatures. So the claim they were making is that the sun will kill it at 27 degrees Celsius. And according to preliminary studies, which again, at this point, we only have preliminary studies, the virus does become unstable at high temperatures, and the higher the temperature, the less stable it is. That is true. That temperature is above 70 degrees Celsius. That is 70 degrees Celsius. So a mere 27 degrees Celsius does not harm it. Like, when you put it in the, oh yeah, the sun will kill it at 27 degrees Celsius. Well, then, yeah, if you're outside on a warm day, then you're fine. No, that is not even close. That would also, that 27 degrees Celsius number would also be one that would be really something people are optimistic of, in hopes that it will die off in the summer, or at least die down in the summer. But if it's stable up to 70 degrees Celsius, then no, summer won't impact it. And just going outside does not protect you at all. You know, 70 degrees Celsius is higher than the temperatures you get in Death Valley, the deserts of Iran, or is it Sudan that recently had one of the new contenders for highest temperature? You don't find 70 degrees Celsius. There was also some concern they had that maybe there was some deep fakes where they were using audio and video manipulation through artificial intelligence to tweak things into people saying stuff they weren't. And they didn't find any evidence that that was actually happening. This was all of this misinformation was being produced the old fashioned way, with people tweaking stuff, editing audio and video to take things out of context rather than actually using AI to change the video and audio. And, you know, this is just simple cuts. They found that most of the false claims were focused on public health authority actions, about 40% of them. A lot of these related to the World Health Organization and UN. They also found a lot of them were around 5G, because there is a conspiracy out there that 5G is what is spreading the virus. As if electromagnetic radiation, let me phrase that, non-ionizing electromagnetic radiation is spreading a virus. That is not how physics works. It's radio waves. We have radio waves. We've had radio waves for 100 years. They don't spread viruses. 5G is just more radio waves. Which, again, we have radio waves. Lots of them. And they also found that public figures are critical in the spread of this misinformation. About 20% of them were spread by prominent figures like celebrities and politicians. And because of these people's significant reach, they got 70% of the total engagement, despite only being 20% of the false post. And they also acknowledge that most of this isn't being spread by bad actors. It's just people who are coming across it that are ignorantly sharing misinformation, thinking that it is good and that it will help somebody else. And if we want to get a little deeper into one of those types of misinformation, the Pew Research Center did a survey looking into Americans' beliefs about the origin of COVID-19. And they found across all U.S. adults that 43% believe that it came about naturally. Only 43%. 23% believe that it was intentionally developed in a laboratory. 6% believe it was accidentally developed in a laboratory, and 25% aren't sure. So nearly 30% of people in the U.S. believe that somebody created COVID-19 in a lab. And depending on who you talk to, it's either the U.S. government created it to make China look bad, China created it to make Donald Trump look bad, or the deep state with secret Democrats in the American bureaucracy created it and put it in China to spread to the U.S. to make Trump look bad. Now, this came about completely naturally. Where it gets even more interesting, though, is when you start digging into the demographics on who believes what about it, is there are some interesting things that show up. For one, men and women are roughly equally likely to believe that it was made in a lab. 30% of men, 29% of women. Men are more likely to be confident that it came about naturally, whereas women are more likely to be not sure, with 46% of men believing it came about naturally compared to 41% of women, and 28% of women believing or not being sure compared to 22% of men. White people are the most likely to believe that it came about naturally at 50%, whereas blacks are coming in at 21% and Hispanics at 35%. Hispanics are the most likely to believe it was made in the lab at 39%, whereas blacks are most likely to be not sure at 41%. If you look at age demographics, the 18 to 29 group is the least likely to believe it came about naturally, the least likely to not be sure, and the most likely to believe it was created in a lab at 35%. Whereas those over 65 are the most likely to believe it came about naturally at 51%, and the least likely it was made in a lab at 21%. Education's a big factor, with college-educated people being 61% sure that it came about naturally, compared to only 31% for people with a high school diploma or less. And Republicans are less likely than Democrats to believe that it came about naturally, and a lot more likely than Democrats to believe it was made in a lab. So if you are a white male over the age of 65 with a college degree or higher who is a liberal and votes Democratic, you are most likely to believe the truth about this. And if you are a Hispanic in your 20s with a high school diploma or less who votes Republican, you are the most likely to believe it was created in a lab. And that really goes to show how much younger people don't trust the government, and less educated people tend to not trust science as much as more educated people. And that 34 to 39% of Republican and leaning Republican, those numbers are, those are the diehard Trump supporters who believe anything that makes Trump look bad was intentionally created to make Trump look bad. And right now, the U.S. government is actively engaged in a lot of very anti-Hispanic practices, actively targeting Hispanics and Latinos as the dangerous other. So it makes sense that they'd be more likely to not trust the official narrative. And the history of Black people with medicine in the United States has been really, really ugly for a really long time, which is tragic for the historic abuses and tragic for the poor health outcomes for basically everything for Black people in the United States, including COVID-19. And it's so, just so sad that this is something incredibly serious, and yet there's a whole lot of misinformation being spread. And I hate to say it, but Russia and China are actively trying to promote the spread of misinformation around COVID-19 to destabilize the United States. And part of Russia's plan is to turn Blacks and Hispanics against each other and against whites, and to turn young against old, and Republicans against Democrats. And it looks like their efforts might be working. For a good example on the actual science on this, this particular strain was first discovered in 2013 in bats. Well, there are more coronaviruses, which there are forms of the common cold that are coronaviruses that have been around for a long time and are pretty benign. And then there are coronaviruses like SARS and MERS and COVID-19, which is also known as SARS-CoV-2, and they have found additional strains in wild bats in Myanmar. They captured wild bats and did rectal and oral swabs and collected some guano samples and checked for coronaviruses, and they found three novel alpha coronaviruses, three novel beta coronaviruses, one known alpha coronavirus, and these novel ones, these would be ones that haven't been identified before. That's what novel means in this case. It is new. It's not known. It's not SARS. It's not COVID-19. It's not MERS. And it's not the common cold. These are new strains that we also don't have immunity to. There are more. They are spreading. They are making the cross from bats into humans, and nobody is making it in the lab. There is some decent evidence that part of what has been spreading this, and at least with SARS and COVID-19, is the wet markets with live wildlife in China, which they are looking at trying to shut down. They are trying to shut them down pretty poorly. But one of the reasons for the existence of those wet markets is for traditional Chinese medicine, which isn't traditional. It's something that was created as part of Mao's Cultural Revolution. And China is promoting traditional Chinese medicine, as misnamed as it is, as a treatment for COVID-19, since there still aren't good treatments for it. And the resources available to try to keep people alive while they try to fight it off are pretty limited. And this particular treatment China is promoting requires, for part of its cocktail, bear bile. And there are environmental groups in Malaysia that are sounding the alarm that this could lead to the extinction of the Malaysian sun bear. There are poachers going around collecting the bears. Let me rephrase that. There are poachers going around killing the bears to harvest their bile to ship to China to be turned into traditional Chinese medicine. And so even though the bears may not be dying of COVID-19, they are dying because of it. Fucking China. I mean, seriously. And for one last story I do want to talk about in the news. George Pell was a Catholic cardinal. He was convicted of child sex abuse from his time as a priest and sentenced to prison. He was the highest ranking member of the Catholic Church to ever be charged and also to ever be convicted. And the Australian High Court unanimously overturned his conviction on all five counts. They cited in their ruling, they said in their ruling, quote, the jury ought to have entertained a doubt as to the applicant's guilt with respect to each of the offenses for which he was convicted, in order that the convictions be quashed and that the verdicts of acquittal be entered in their place. One of the things they questioned was that he was convicted on the evidence of one man. The five counts were all about two boys getting raped repeatedly by Pell. I think it was in the '80s. And one of the men committed suicide in 2014. So he wasn't able to testify, and this was before any allegations were made. So it was just the one man testifying to this happening, and there was no physical evidence. Again, it was like from the 80s. So yeah, there's no physical evidence left. And the jury found that testimony to be convincing and quickly reached a unanimous guilty verdict. But the high court didn't think that a single witness 30 years later was sufficient. And it is really easy to get angry about this. Another priest getting let off the hook for raping children. But on the other hand, one victim's testimony 30 years later. This is a really tricky one where whether you rape one person or you rape multiple, you're guilty of rape and should be sent to prison for it. And especially if you're raping children, it often takes a lot of time for them to mature and process through it and decide that it's time to report it. So some extra allowances need to be made. And it really sucks when people kill themselves, possibly because of that abuse. But for a legal system, do we really want people going to prison on accusations from a single person from 30 years ago with no physical evidence? I don't have an answer to that. But if you're angry about this, I think that's something worth considering. All right, we got some feedback from Randy via YouTube to episode 355's live stream. A couple days after the fact. Love your content and will support whatever changes you come up with. So thank you, Randy. I definitely do plan on continuing with content. And right now there's just a lot of news that has been really irritating me. And I felt the need to yell in a microphone about it. So hopefully you will continue to enjoy me yelling into a microphone. And like one of this podcast, one of the ways of looking at it throughout the entire length that has been going on has been me having conversations with people, and it's taken time for me to get comfortable with having a conversation directly with the listeners. And I'm working on getting better with that. And I think I'm doing pretty well. So let me know what you think, but yeah, I think I'm getting better at that. And from Colleen via Twitter, she's at C Rose J on Twitter, at Atheist Nomads, listening to episode 347. Bordetella is a yearly vaccine. It's not always commonly given, though. This was not something I was aware of. She knows because she works in pet care and they do that one routinely for pets. So, yeah, that's definitely something to talk to your veterinarian about if you have pets. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. I don't think I'll be getting another one out this week, but if you want to support the show, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate. And if you want to contact us, like Randy and Colleen, you can comment or tweet or send us messages or comments on Facebook. Don't do Facebook. I don't check it very often. The feedback form on the website and the email address, contact@atheistdumbass.com, are usually best. Twitter works pretty well, too. I get emails from YouTube comments, so that also works well. But we love feedback, so keep that up. And remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.